Welcome back, folks. All I can tell you is that there is no rest for the weary. They moved from the 50 best restaurants to Sale 250 to now Restaurant Week with in a partnership with the Louisiana Restaurant Association. That's the folks over at New Orleans & Company. Kelly Schultz, Senior Vice President of Communications and Public Relations, joins us. Kelly, welcome to the show. I hope you like laying on a sofa or something and getting a little bit of rest. I mean,
well,
y'all don't ever stop.
Really.
Y'all are like the Ever-Ready Bunny.
We are back at the office promoting the next thing, but Sale 250 and 50 Best were really wonderful events for the city. So thank you for your kind words. It was really a great showcase of what we do the best, which are big events with great people, and the numbers were very strong also.
You know, folks just don't really understand, recognize, realize, all of those words, how much work it takes to put that type of event on. I do. I see what y'all do, and that's why I make light of it in the intro here, because, you know, y'all hadn't taken two breaths, and now you're into Restaurant Week starting June 8th through the 14th. And it looks like a lot of participation and ought to be a great experience.
Well, we hope so. Restaurant Week is something that we do at New Orleans & Company in partnership with the Louisiana Restaurant Association, Greater New Orleans chapter. So starting on June 8th through the 14th, there's some really great deals out there. There are basically four menu options, and there are over 75 restaurants that are participating so far, and I'm sure more are going to even sign up before it starts. But you can get a two-course lunch or a two-course brunch for $25, three-course dinners are $32, and a premium three-course dinner is $56. Newell, I know you're a foodie and you love our restaurants, and those are pretty good deals.
Those are great deals, quite frankly. I went to a pizza joint the other day, and it was $39, you know, for two people. So, I mean, those are phenomenal deals, and some of the greatest restaurants in the city are participating.
That's right. You know, it's all every neighborhood, French Quarter, the Convention District, the West Bank, Lakeview, Treme, also Jefferson Parish. There are restaurants participating for Restaurant Week as well. So there are casual spots. There are more formal spots. But again, like, you know, some of the most iconic restaurants like Antoine's and Arno's and Brennan's and Galatoire's, Commander's Palace, they are all participating as well. So it's a really great way for locals to get out and maybe try a new neighborhood, try a new restaurant, or go back and enjoy one of your favorites at these really special, great prices.
And I like, too, that they're in all areas of the city, right? Not just concentrated in one. They're throughout the city. Like in the, you know, the Carrollton Band Brightson's up there, which is one of the best restaurants in the city. They're participating as well. And, you know, and I love seeing that. And then in the downtown area, an area that you don't think about is at the hotel Brutto Americano is participating there on Carondelet Street. So it's just about everywhere you can be in the city, there's restaurants participating.
That's right. I mean, it covers the West Bank. It covers Mid-City. It covers Jefferson Parish. There are places in, for example, out in the Elmwood area, Bibelots, Copeland, Zia's, out in the Harahan area. They're participating in Restaurant Week. There are places in Lakeview along the lakefront, you know, all over the city. It covers every neighborhood, French Quarter, Garden District, CBD, the Marigny, Bywater, Treme. So we want this to be accessible to as many people as possible, and we're happy for our restaurant partners to step up and offer these special prices to get people into the restaurants and really enjoy.
Kelly, give us a little bit of the history of this.
Well, this was actually started in 2008 by the Louisiana Restaurant Association as really a way for locals to take advantage of our restaurant community. At that time, it was called We Live to Eat. And then we changed
so
it,
which is true.
And then
and drink.
About yes, About 10 years ago, they rebranded it to Restaurant Week New Orleans. Many other cities around the country, if you look at Miami or Chicago or New York, many of them offer a restaurant week. So it's something that's pretty common for big, sophisticated cities like ours. And it's also similar to what we do in August, throughout the month of August, with the culinary restaurant promotion. So that is a similar opportunity where we have prefix menus, great prices. We're going to be rolling that out for the month of August. But right now, the focus is on June 8th through 14th for Restaurant Week.
Absolutely. You go to neworleans.com and you it's all there. They have every restaurant that's participating thus far. And when new ones come on, trust me, it will appear on that website as well. And while you're there, you can peruse around because there's a lot going on in the city always. Let us talk real briefly about Sale 250. I saw Walt Leger's letter this morning. Pretty incredible numbers that existed. I went down Sunday. I was blown away by how many people were down there. I mean, truly. Mm-hmm. And I had folks in my coffee group that had gone on Thursday. They said it was crowded. Friday it was crowded. And when I went Sunday and then we walked through the mall there, the Riverwalk, place was packed. I mean, it was, you know, it was like wall-to-wall people, which was just incredible. And you could tell most of those folks were, you know, folks from the area, probably drove in, you know, which was great to see as well.
You know, I was down there also on Sunday, Newell, and I had the same reaction. I think I had to go to 4 different parking spots before finding a place to park, which was because there was so much demand and so many people. So it was really good. People really did show up for this. I mean, this is something that you do not see this every day. This is really a historic event as part of America 250. And so to see the ships lined up along our riverfront, it was really spectacular. And we pulled some numbers. We just got numbers in yesterday. And we know that between the dates of May 28th through 31, the Sale 250 dates, we had 125 visitors come just along the riverfront. And if you compare
125,000.
125,000, yes, sorry.
Yes.
125,000 visitors came to the riverfront over those days. And if you compare that to the same time period in 2025, it's a 500% increase in the number of visitors. So that shows you that these big events, these special events, are really what get people down there. And I think if you talk to some of the restaurateurs, for example, the folks over at Delacroix, which were right there in the midst of all the festivities, they had a really, really good weekend of business. And then their chef actually won the seafood.
I tried getting in there. It was like, I'm not a line person. So when I saw that line, forget about it. We'll go somewhere else.
Yeah, they were packed. I mean, it was, I think, a great weekend for them. And I think many other businesses in the area would say the same thing. And then, you know, Sale 250 was not the only thing we had going on. So we pulled some numbers for the entire city, looking at, you know, those same dates, but in other neighborhoods and around the French Quarter and downtown area. And we had 454,000 visitors in the area. So that's Sale 250. That's the 50 best restaurants. We had meetings and conventions in town over that period. And then we had people here, you know, perhaps just kicking off summer travel with Memorial Day. So numbers were really, really strong.
And I saw there was a cruise ship, and when I went down Sunday, I'm like, I'm approaching the river, and I say, wait, they have a cruise ship in port as well? I mean, the whole port was just packed. But let's put that 450-something-thousand number in context. That's more people that visited here than there are inhabitants, which is
correct.
Compelling.
That is compelling, and that's one of the points that we always make is, you know, New Orleans is a relatively small city, right? With 400,000 mm-hmm. people. And if it were not for the millions of visitors that come to our city every year and come for special events like Sale 250, that is what allows us to have these world-class events and this culture, that is really equivalent to a much larger city population-wise, But it's possible to have these iconic, famous, big culture venues here because of the visitors that come to our city.
So the reaction, I know you probably have been able to talk to folks. I saw a lot of sailors that were, you know, on leave while they were here. They looked like they were having a great time. What was the overall reaction from the different countries represented with the tall ships?
Well, we heard that too, and we saw them enjoying themselves in the city. It was so much fun to, everywhere you go, you would see these incredible service members in their, you know, beautiful, crisp military uniforms, and just really, they enjoyed the city. They truly did. You saw them. There were several bands that were performing who are members of the military. That was part of the seafood cook-off, and they enjoyed New Orleans, and I hope that we set the bar pretty high. You know, this was the first stop in a series of cities that they're going to for Sail 250. They left us on Monday and are going on to Virginia, New York, Boston, and Baltimore. So I hope that when they look back, they had the best time in New Orleans. But again, our city at every level really did shine. The port, the mayor and her team were incredible. Everyone involved in this thing, it was really the best of New Orleans.
You know, it's really funny. I had some folks that talked to me about when they were down there when they were leaving, you know, and mm-hmm. looking at the massive size of these vessels as they were pulling away from the dock. And someone asked me later that afternoon, they said, you know, when they get out into the Gulf, they actually put those sails up. I said, well, yes, that's what they're designed to do. And he goes, they don't motor? I said, no, because they can actually sail faster than they can motor, depending on the wind. You know, and the winds have been are projected to be pretty good offshore, you know, north of 30 miles an hour. They're going to love that. So it was kind of funny. They had gone down to see the ships previously other than Monday, and it was kind of like, yes, that's what they do. Those are training vessels.
Exactly. And let me tell you, I know that there were tours available, and everyone that toured the ships just said that all of the military personnel from the U.S. and all of the other countries were so gracious with their time and explanations of everything. And again, it's not, you know, not something we see every day. Definitely iconic, definitely historic. And we're so happy that New Orleans was the first stop in this five-city tour.
Got a text here. Are there plans to have another sail event in the future? Well, I heard I had the mayor on Tuesday, and she said that she and Walter were sitting on the stage, and they were looking at all the people on, you know, on moonwalk, Wollenberg Park, and everything else. And I said, man, we got to do something next year at this time. This is incredible.
It was incredible. You know, we did something similar for our tricentennial in 2018 when New Orleans turned 300. So I think that was the last time there was something really this spectacular. So we'd love to do this again. I think it's a pretty massive undertaking. Not sure if we could do it annually, but we would love to see it again. And you know, the river is so important to who we are, and welcoming international visitors is what we do so well. And it's really cool to see the chefs from each of the vessels from other countries pair with our New Orleans area chefs for the seafood cook-off. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really creative, and I know that those chefs were enjoying learning from our amazing chefs too.
And a shout out to the USO, because I hear they did an incredible job, right? They had a lot of volunteers out and just did great work.
They really did. I know you had a guest from the USO on your show last week. It's an incredible organization. They were very much part of this. We couldn't have done it without them.
Yeah, they were a lot of fun. Well, Kelly, thank you so much for joining us. Restaurant Week runs June 8th through the 14th. Two-course lunch, $25. Three-course dinner, $32. Premium three-course dinner, $56. You can check it out at neworleans.com. They got it all laid out, all the restaurants there, the whole deal. and a lot more information, too, as to a lot of things going on. And you know what? Most of it's free. It's incredible how many events out there you can attend in the city and not have to reach into your pocket at all. Kelly, as always, thank you so much for joining us. Always appreciate your time, your insight, and the incredible work that you guys do. Congratulations on Sail 250.
Thank you, Newell. Thanks for the time.
Thank you. That's Kelly Schultz, Senior Vice President of Community and Public Relations for New Orleans & Company. We're going to go to the talk lines when we get back, 504-260-1870. We'd love to hear from you if you went down to Sail 250, your experience. I tell you one thing, Sunday it was hot. So those sailors that had the long sleeve uniforms, as I was watching them walking around, they were enjoying themselves, but I think they might have got a little dose of our humidity on Sunday. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. Just a reminder that that we have a special running with Craig's Electrical and Generator. Would it be great not to lose power during the summer and hurricane season? WWL wants to make that happen for you. We teamed up with Craig's Electrical and Generator to offer you the chance to win a Generac GP6500 portable generator, a nearly $1,000 value. It's happening now. Go to WWL.com/contests for your chance to win comfort, security, peace of mind from Craig's Electrical and Generators, because when the power goes off, Craig's comes on with WWL. Also today at 4 p.m. on Sports Talk with Mike Dottiglia and Steve Geller, Saints legend and color analyst Deuce McAllister drops by at 4:25. Which Saints have stood out so far at OTAs? Who is your betting favorite for a breakout season? Plus, recapping game one of the NBA Finals, and get the latest on LSU baseball's activity in the transfer portal. Huddle up with Mike Dottiglia and Steve Geller, 4 to 8 p.m. Thursday on WWL and the Odyssey app. So they had elections go on Tuesday, a number of primary elections around the country. Some kind of interesting things that has occurred there. Number of Republicans finishing either number one or number two in California, which is unusual to say the least. But this is what's interesting to me about the state of California. The state of California is kind of viewed as the technology state, right? Home of the Silicon Valley, where, you know, they're always on the leading edge of technology there, one would think. Do you know it's going to take them about another 2 weeks to count the ballots in California? Can you believe that? We don't know who actually is in the general election or who's not because it's taken so long to count votes. In fact, Steve Hilton has been running first as a Republican in the governor's race there. He's garnered thus far about 27.8% of the vote, about 1.38 million votes. Democrat Xavier Becerra follows in the number two position. He's got about 1.26 million votes, 25% of the vote. And Tom Steyer has got 978,000, about 19.6% of the vote. But they've only counted thus far just about 60% of the vote. I mean, which means they got about another 3.5 million votes to count. It's like, are you kidding me? How does this work? I mean, this is really embarrassing that in this country that we are supposedly the leader of technology. Now, let me put this in context for you, right? You know that little bitty state has about 4 million people in it. You know, the river runs through it, otherwise known as Louisiana. We have the final tally of our votes generally by midnight of the evening of the election. How could that be? Right? We've been able to do this so much better than any other state for a whole host of reasons, but I mean, it's like We're not the cutting edge of technology in this country. We don't have the Silicon Valley. We don't boast and beat on our chest about how we're so technologically advanced. But yet, in California, so backwards. I mean, it's really embarrassing that in this country, that it takes 2 weeks to count the votes. I mean, cuckoo. Now, some of their laws have something to do with this, right? And you want to talk about cuckoo, that's pretty, you know, these laws will obviously highlight that. So in California, legitimate ballots can arrive until this coming Tuesday. So the election was this past Tuesday, the 2nd, right? They can arrive there 1 week past. And under California law, if a vote by mail ballot identification envelope has no postmark, or the postmark is illegible, and there is no date stamp for receipt from a bona fide private mail delivery service like FedEx or otherwise, but the voter had put the date on the vote by mail ballot on the envelope, and it indicates that it was executed on or before election day, that counts. They can still put it in. So you can understand why there's at least another week that they can't count votes. And then they use drop boxes. They have 1,746 drop boxes available in 58 counties. They have some outside. They have 24/7. They had recently a story where one was set on fire and some of the ballots were actually destroyed. They have them inside of buildings. They have them in a number of different places. So when you think about this, and everybody's waiting to see who's in second place in the mayor's race, right? Because you have these same delays. They've counted a little bit more votes in L.A. County. 63% have been counted thus far. Still don't know, but there's still a lot of votes out there. So they still don't know whether or not who's going to finish in second place. Spencer Pratt or Nithya Raman. And that's how crazy this is. I don't understand why we don't take this more seriously, and we don't think it's serious enough that we should dedicate some resources to being able to count these votes in a much more efficient and judicious way. And we continue to have these disparate systems because of states' rights. I get it. You know, it's up to the state on how they want to conduct their elections. It would seem to me that it would behoove the states to come together to kind of think about, hey, why don't we create some standardization here as to how we're going to go about doing this so that we can get these results in a much more effective and efficient way and not be the laughingstock. So many other countries do it so much better than we do as well. Right? But yet we're the cornerstone of democracy. You would think that in upholding those principles, we would put in the systems necessary to actually count the votes a lot quicker. Maybe not. We'll be right back. Welcome back, folks. On the text line, it says, Newell, how in the world can you determine who is in first place in an election and not know who's in second? Don't all votes have to be counted to determine that, Sal? Yeah, Sal, theoretically, yes, you're right. But the reality is that the first place candidate has not enough of the lead that the way the votes will break out in the areas where the outstanding votes are indicate that individual will most definitely finish in first place And because of the closeness of the second and third place finisher, the number of votes out there, and because of those same characteristics that I just talked about, they're less identifiable. And so that's why there's some question as to who is actually going to finish in that place. Antiquated voting in California and some other place, cuckoo land. Is it true that California is the third largest economy in the world and they can't figure out same day election results? That is true. In fact, the economy of California is greater than most European countries. And so I think California is the third largest economy in the world, certainly larger than Russia, for example. So is Texas's economy. It's amazing when you think about that, that our states are, their GDP is greater than the GDP of any number of European countries that are out there. One of the interesting outcomes, too, on Tuesday was New Jersey's 12th congressional district. Dr. Adam Hamowy, he was running for a House seat in the Democratic primary, and he won. And the interesting thing about him is that in the 1990s, this is an individual that volunteered for an Al-Qaeda-linked group. He was a follower of Omar Abdel Rahman, you'll remember the terrorist cleric. He was blind. He was called the Blind Sheikh, who was the inspiration behind the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. And Hamowy was a loyal follower of Rahman, and he actually acted as his interpreter. And they spent a lot of time together, took a cross-country road trip together. His support, and there's all kinds of video and testimony in the aftermath because of the criminal investigation, that World Trade Center killed six people. Hamowy actually appeared as a witness for Abdel Rahman's 1995 trial. And I was reading some of the trial transcript about what he had to say. It was clear that he knew exactly what this was all about. And, you know, and about the fact that of jihad and everything else. And Abdel Rahman was convicted and died in prison in 2017. And it's just kind of interesting. Now, Hamowy's actually served in our military in Iraq, and he somehow thinks that, you know, creates this Chinese wall or something, that, you know, that he shouldn't be judged because of his tendencies and his link to these terrorist organizations in the past. And here he is. He's won the Democratic primary in New Jersey. And this is going to be interesting. He may get elected and represent this country, and doesn't deny his closeness, doesn't deny his friendship, doesn't deny his activities relative to Rahman and the bombing of the World Trade Center. This one is, for me, it's a real head-scratcher as to what people are thinking about. And you're seeing some of the same characteristics of the Senate race in Maine, about what folks have been saying and what they've been doing and what they're currently doing, about their moral compass, about their belief system. And we're kind of overlooking that and staring the obvious in the face and willing to walk right around it. I mean, when we talk about all of the sexual harassment stuff that's going on in Congress that's being revealed, I mean, I think there's four, maybe five people under investigation right now in Congress. This guy in Maine has been married a couple of years, and just recently sexting other women. No big deal. The wife comes out and says, you know, I admire him. And I guess the public in Maine is like saying, no big deal to us. I mean, when does it become a big deal? When he actually engages in this activity to some of the folks that will work for him in Congress? And does everybody collectively across the country get to say, I told you so? You know, what, you know, why did we think that this was going to change? Same thing with Hamawi. Why do we think that his ideological bent is going to be something different? Kind of interesting. Love to hear from you. 504-260-1870. The Oaken Heart Jewelers Talk and Text on. We'll be right back. Folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we are going to visit with Rafael Goyeneche, and we're going to dig deep into a discussion about the legislature downsizing the New Orleans judiciary. Three judges have been removed. It was allegedly going to happen in the following way: last in, first out, by seniority, right? The newest elected would go first of the three. That didn't turn out that way. In fact, in conference committee, there was, I'm going to tell you, I think there's shenanigans going on here. I think it needs to be looked at. I really believe that, and we're going to talk more about this, but there's something happening there where we would jump over not one, not two, but maybe three other judges in order to save one. Why is that? Why did it work that way? I mean, this was kind of a bastardized approach to begin with. And it seems as though in conference, we let the politics enter into that conference committee and did something, I think, completely unfair. If you advertise that you're going last in, first out, that's the way it should have been. It's just, you know, again, Louisiana politics at its ugliest. And we'll talk more about that as well. A number of state-funded warrants, those is what is called the money that the state puts up for the district attorney's office, have been reduced. This district attorney's office will have 10 less. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about the recent incident involving St. Tammany Parish Sheriff Randy Smith and the investigation that is going on there. The Metropolitan Crime Commission has done a lot of survey studies, and they have a lot of data accumulated on the caseload of the courts. We'll talk about that and why this is important, how this is going to shake out with three less judges going from 12 to 9. So stay with us. We'll be right after the top of the hour news break. This is Newell on WWL.